You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be there this morning and we'll be glancing at a few other scriptures. The Bible has relatively little to say about worry and fear. I'm just kidding, because there are many, I think, all throughout where we're told, do not be afraid, do not fear, be not afraid. And we're told we don't have to worry, trust the Lord with all your heart. And yet, I think that's one of those things that creeps up into our lives and makes its home right in our hearts. Oftentimes, that it's easy to worry about many things. Easy to try to take control back. And in honor of Mother's Day, I'm going to pick on mothers a little bit. Because I can, because I'm married to one. And I can because, honestly, the worry in my own heart is as much or more than many mothers. But I'm trying to imagine a day in the life of a mother and the worries that will go on. Why is he up early? Is something wrong? Why is he sleeping late? Is something wrong? What should I make for lunch? Why isn't he eating? Is something wrong? Why is he eating so much? Is something wrong? Did I forget to turn the stove off? What if he gets sick? What if he goes to school and has no friends? What if he doesn't do well at school? Is he the same height as he was a month ago? Is he going to grow? Did I forget to send his snack with him? Is that a lisp? Will he ever get rid of that? Is he going to smile for his pictures at school? Why is he crying? Did I forget to turn the stove off? Did I do the right thing? Will he remember me at college? What if he gets bullied at school? What if he makes wrong decisions? What if he gets kidnapped? Am I making a difference? What if I do something to mess him up? Did I forget to turn the stove off? How am I ever going to get rid of this baby weight? And I could go on and on, but I'm just trying to imagine. So the worry, Diane's thinking, that's not me. So I'm not trying to portray my wife's worries. I was just going across the board, all the kinds of worries that could creep into a mother's life alone, because when you have kids, there's so many things that you can't control. And oftentimes when we're trying to grasp for, trying to make things work, and we can't, the best thing we can do is worry about it, right? I think that's a struggle that we can wrestle with. And the easy thing is for it to gravitate toward worry. And how am I going to get this under control? We're going to take a look at worry this morning. We've been talking about Christ and your problems, and we're going to move into the next one, Christ and your worry. And yes, worry is a sin. Oh, I don't like to say that, because I have that sin in my heart probably on a daily basis, all the things that I tend to naturally worry about. But I need to submit that to God, and I get some areas under control, and then I start worrying about other areas. And we're told over and over not to worry, not to fear. Now, here's another thing for mom to worry about. Parenthood. Now you have someone who will always go along with your brilliant ideas. That's the best thing about having kids. So that'd be me as a dad, and that's why mom might worry. What's dad doing with the kids right now? Are they going to be okay? Worry and all kinds of things to worry about. Well, as we look at today, I want to encourage us that we must face each day with courage. We're going to look at some contrast to worry, but a big one is going to be our courage. And we're going to see some of the foundations of getting to courage as we wrestle with getting rid of worry and fear in our hearts and lives. So I want to take a look, first of all, and break that down with the behavior. I know I've got your shared victory at the top if you've got your booklets that you're using. But the behavior, I want to start there today. And we're going to kind of come back to shared victory at the end so we can put it into perspective now that we kind of set the framework for what are we doing with that. Because we're talking about overcoming worry in our lives. And then how do I help someone else that I know is struggling with worry? How can I show them how God has helped me to have victory in that area? We'll talk about that toward the end. Let me ask you this question as we begin talking about the behavior. What things do you worry about? I kind of rattled off some mother's worries, and those can intersect with a father or many other things. And there are all kinds of things that we could worry about. Just think about that for a second. What things do you worry about on a regular basis, on the grand scheme of life? What are you worried about? I'm going to, as we're glancing into Matthew 6, I see three big ones kind of right off the bat. Food, fashion, and future. What food am I going to eat? What clothes am I going to wear? And what about tomorrow? I think another big one is finances that can kind of fit into the future too. And sometimes into the present. And sometimes into the past if you're trying to work off debt. Jesus is talking, and he's talking about, he goes right into, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. I think finances could kind of underlie that, because if I'm worrying about what I'm going to eat or drink, I don't think it's a matter of should I eat a cheeseburger or a pizza, but how am I going to eat today? How am I going to afford clothes, especially as a parent? How am I going to take care of my kids? Different stage of life. How am I going to pay for this, pay for that? Do I have enough money to enter into this decision? Do I trust God when it seems like money doesn't measure up, but he's leading me this way? You can kind of wrestle with that throughout. And future, what does tomorrow hold? My health. My job, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? What could happen to me? Did I leave the stove on? And we can find all kinds of little things to worry about. What is your worry? What are your greatest fears in life? And let's think about that for a second. The word worry actually is a Greek word, merimnao, which means divided mind. If you see anxiety in the Bible, care, concern, you'll see some of those same words. Those are all from the same root word, meaning divided mind. Now, I can't imagine how they got worry from that. I mean, as soon as you're worrying, I mean, if you're sitting in here and you're thinking about, did I leave the stove on? Then you're probably only half paying attention to what I'm talking about right now, because now you've got this other thought, or what if this happens, or what about these things? And it's pretty soon you're down this whole worry path, and you might have even forgotten that you're sitting here today. And I know that happens because I've done it. You can get right down that tumbling down the hill, worry, worry, worry. And since it's Mother's Day, I can thank my mom for teaching me how to worry so well. But it's the word, a compound word, meaning division of the mind, to divide the mind. And it's lending itself to the idea of the worries and anxieties I have, the things that I get worked up about to the point of being distracted, because these are the things that I'm now focusing on, and I'm no longer focused on what Jesus is talking about, the things of today. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Focus on what's now. Tackle that. Do your responsibility. Do your duties. But don't be distracted by the things that you cannot control. Another word that we see in the Bible is the word fear. And this kind of takes two different ideas. It can be the idea of terror, like I'm completely afraid of something, terrified by it. Or like the fear of the Lord side, that I have respect for. And they sound opposite, but they go together. I mean, if I'm afraid of a snake, I kind of have a natural respect for it. It's kind of the proper relationship that I'm not going to try to anger the snake by playing with it. I have a respect that I know my relationship to the snake is not one that I'm going to mess with it. I'm going to upset it. I'm going to go play with it. Just like my kids, I've been trying to teach them to be afraid of the road, afraid of just running into the street. So am I teaching my kids something that is wrong? I think excluded from this is the appropriate relationship to things that understands how to approach it. I want my kids to be afraid of the street because there is a consequence of running into the street without thinking, without paying attention. So there's a proper relationship they should have that respects that cars drive on this street, cars drive fast and they weigh a lot and they will crush you. So have the proper fear that I understand here's a boundary that is my relationship to the street, my relationship to that snake, my relationship to God, because God is in control and God wants the best for me, but God also demands holiness. And that's why Proverbs 1:7 tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear can be a good thing. And that comes from the word phobos, which is where we get our word phobia. And I don't know if anybody can tell me how many phobias there are out there, but I imagine it's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. They've got phobias for every little thing because we can get worked up. We can have our different things that we're afraid of. All kinds of phobias. So let's think about the behavior a little bit. And break it down a little bit, trying to do some of the put off and put on, because that's what we're told to do with our behaviors, to put off fear, put on instead courage. And I will talk about faith. Probably some you may be wondering, what about faith? And yes, that's a big part of it. But put off fear that stops me from doing something. Put on courage that allows me to forge ahead and do what I'm supposed to do. Put off that divided mind and put on focus. That's where worry really trips me up, is now, I mean, maybe you didn't even realize it. Why do I struggle with focus so much? Is it perhaps that I've got a lot of worries going on that give me anxiety, that give me, I'm distracted all the time by that, and I struggle to focus because of that? Unless you've got three loud kids running at home and yelling and screaming all the time, that might be another contributor to lack of focus. Put off the what ifs. No more what ifs, and put on the present duties. What do I need to do now? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Put off wasting time and put on productivity. Jesus kind of tells us that worrying is a waste of time. Verse 27 of Matthew 6, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? What are you accomplishing by worrying? What if something bad is going to happen to my son at school today? And I sat at home and I at least worried about it all day until that happened. At least that took care of it, right? I'm so glad that I spent all my time worrying about that. Worrying still accomplished nothing. Sometimes we have a trigger that maybe... There's a problem if you're asking that question six times, and maybe you did leave the stove on, and maybe that question in your mind means I need to go home and check on it. But if it's a every day I'm worrying about it because I ran out of things to worry about, then there's an issue. So I'm not saying all triggers are bad. Sometimes fear and worry is a concern, is a call to action, but sometimes there's things that we can't do anything about, and we got to stop thinking of everything to be concerned about, and we need to surrender it to God. But worrying is unproductive. Worrying is a waste of time. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. Worrying doesn't add to my stature, doesn't add to my life, as some translations put it. worrying is unproductive. So let's back up then, because we need to understand the heart of the issue. As we've been kind of, I hope you're getting the framework, we can't just do behavior modification. We have to get to the heart of the issue. I worked in a plant in Iowa City. It was a packaging plant, and it did a lot of different products, but shampoo and conditioner were some of them. And I worked a line where simple stuff, trying to keep the line going, bottles, cardboard, etc. And so, okay, they finished one product, and they were ready to switch over for another. And sometimes that meant shutting the thing down for a while, and we'd be sitting waiting for 10, 15, 20 minutes while they rotated stuff out. Actually, this time, all we needed to do was to dump out the blonde product bottles and put in the brunette product bottles and then start the machine up again, because what was inside was actually no different at all. Sometimes that's what we're trying to do with the behavior modification. We don't change the inside. Okay, I'm not supposed to worry. So God's in control. I'm going to put on my smile. I'm not going to let on what's in my mind and stuff. Okay, I'm going to push that. Maybe I even push those thoughts aside. And I try to discipline myself. Okay, I got to put off wasting my time. Got to put on productivity. So I'm going to try to focus. I'm going to try not to think about those things. But if we don't deal with the issue behind it, it's only going to last for so long, and it's not really going to deal with the root. Just like our apple nailing. You can't nail apples to the tree and hope that next season it'll bring out those fresh new apples. If there's a problem in the roots of the tree, or it's not getting enough water, or something else is wrong, you got to deal with that problem. So I can address it all wrong. I can try to fix the behaviors of worry, but what about the heart? Let's ask the questions. Why am I worrying? Why am I worrying? And if you get an opportunity this week and you're worrying about something, I want you to stop and just ask yourself, what am I worrying about? Why am I worrying about that? Why am I afraid in this situation? And maybe it's an appropriate relationship where, okay, I'm worried because I got afraid because my child almost ran into the street and I scolded him and brought him back, and I'm teaching him a proper, but I think a lot of times our worry just gets out of control and it runs like a wildfire and consumes everything. And maybe it's that one time that it's a call to action and I need to, okay, there is an issue and I need to check on it just to make sure. But has it gotten out of control? Why am I worrying? What gives me the right to worry? What gives me the right to worry? Because I know the first thing that I want to do whenever I am confronted with a sin in my life is to figure out why it's okay. Well, I needed to worry about that because, or, well, you don't understand my situation because this is what's going. Is your worrying productive? Are you getting something done? Are you focused when you're worrying? Why is it okay for me to worry? What is my motivation? What is behind that? Lou Priolo says this: fear is the flip side of lust. Idolatry is like a coin. It has two sides, desire and fear. What does that mean? Well, we've been talking about the root of a lot of our behavioral sins and being in the heart, coming back to the desires, the things we want. And lust is that broader word to mean the things that I'm going to pursue, my desires, because I do what I do because I want what I want. And if it comes to anger, if it comes to my idle speech and I'm not getting what I want, oh, I can react in ways that are not okay, and I can sin before I know it because I'm not happy about not getting my desire. Fear is the other side of it. So I desire something and then now I'm afraid I might not get that desire. I'm afraid of what would happen if my desire does not come to pass. And that's where we're going to get to the heart of what's going on. I got this list from Charles Stanley. He's kind of getting to the root of some of these issues. What's the major root of worry or fear? It's again, that desire is denied, or that it might be denied even. So you have to ask that question, what am I wanting? What am I wanting? And here's some that Charles Stanley gives. Greed could come from a fear of not having enough. Well, I want more, I want more, I want more. What's behind that? I'm afraid of not having enough. Because what am I ultimately wanting? having things, having more. And sometimes that can become an idol, something that I am pursuing even more than God himself, even more than my ultimate goal of following God and being holy. That I want to make sure I have enough, and therefore greed comes out. And we're going to deal with greed in the following week coming up. Rejection. When I have the rejection, I have the fear of not being. When I'm worried about rejection, I have a fear of not being accepted. And we have all kinds of issues with this. Where my greatest desire is, I just want someone to accept me. I want that approval. That's self-esteem. That's what it all comes from. And we push for the self-esteem, but sometimes it's all about, well, I just want someone to like me. I want someone to be okay with me. Not a bad desire, but if I've exalted that to the point of I can do what I want to get it, and I can respond how I want, and I'm going to respond with worry and fear if I'm in anticipation of not getting that, then I'm going to get off track. So that could be at the heart. Guilt, the fear of being found out. I'm afraid of what if people found out what I did. And not being found out could be that idol. And let me tell you something. Sometimes being exposed or what you did can be the greatest gift, because your whole life can be wrapped up in that guilt. And you finally set free from that fear of being found out, that you can deal with your sin, that you can walk in the light, as 1 John tells us to do. But guilt could stem out of that fear of being found out. Lack of confidence stem from fear of failure. Anger, fear of not getting my own way. If I need to have control of things and I need to make sure it goes, and I could respond in anger. Jealousy, fear of not having what you believe is rightfully yours. Indecisiveness, fear of criticism or making a wrong decision. And we can struggle with these different manifestations of how our fear comes out. And they might all have different heart issues that come out of them. All kinds of these we can struggle with on a regular basis. That things that I might not even tie to fear, but here's how my fear is manifesting itself. Here's how my worry is manifesting itself. That I actually am struggling a lot with fear in my life because I'm afraid to make decisions. Because what if I make a wrong decision? What if somebody doesn't like the decision I make? And there's my heart issue, that I have a fear of these types of things. I have something that I am trying to cling to and hold on to. Different heart issues for different manifestations, but we have to examine our heart and ask the question, what is it I want? We have to come back to then putting off and putting on, first, before the behaviors, putting off the old man and putting on the new man, understanding my identity of who I am in Christ. Now, let me take that a little bit further this morning, because we've kind of been talking about that for a couple weeks. Lou Priolo, in his book, Fear Breaking Its Grip, says, fear is sinful when it attributes to God characteristics that are inconsistent with his nature. When a Christian is afraid, it is almost certainly because they have a misperception of God. That's going to be a big part of the heart, too. Not only what do I want, but how am I understanding who God is and how am I understanding who I am? That's the question. What is my view of God? Do I really believe he can be trusted? Do I really believe he loves me? Do I really believe he's powerful, that he's sovereign, that he's good? Because I can say these things. I can say he's a good God. I can say, oh, he's sovereign, he's in control. I can say he's so powerful, he loves me. But as soon as something happens, what's that question? Why do bad things happen to good people? If God is sovereign, if God's in control and he's good, then how could he let that happen? And sometimes we anticipate that, and it goes back to the fear. What if God, do I really believe God is good? Do I really believe he's in control? Yes, bad things can still happen. But God's got it under control and he's doing something in it. We have to come to an understanding of that. So then what is my view of myself? Let's ask those questions. Do I exalt myself as the one in control? Am I really making myself out to be God? That I'm the one that has responsible for this? I mean, we have to take responsibility. But there's only so much I can do. Am I still holding myself accountable for for everything to happen right, according to my plan, by the way? Or do I recognize myself as a child of God, one that He will take care of? Just like we've seen in Matthew 6, that God is a good Father. He watches over us, just like the flowers of the field. He will clothe us, and He will take care of us. Do I trust? Nothing can separate me from His love. If I am a child of God, if I've been forgiven, if I've trusted in Him, nothing can separate me from that. Do I really grasp that, or do I need to meditate on that more and understand more of who I am? Is life about my plans or about God's plans? Am I more concerned about what I want to see happen, or am I willing to let God do what He sees fit? And then if I think I'm ready to do what God wants, am I willing to endure trials to become more like Jesus? Because that's what James 1 tells me is going to happen. What is my view of myself? I have to understand God properly. I have to understand myself properly. So let's move forward with that then, and talk about the kind of starting the transformation from within. If we're going to understand who I am and who God is, then what do we need to do? I think 2 Timothy 1:7 really helps us out. Second Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We got a little bit different word for fear there. It's a different word, but it's kind of a step past it. It's the fear that paralyzes. It's, some translations say timidity. I think you could say cowardice. It's the fear that doesn't allow me to do anything because I'm so wrapped up in fear that I'm not willing to do what God wants me to do. I'm too worried about that. I'm too constrained, constricted by my fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear. I'm going to look at the context a little more. He's telling Timothy, he's thanking God for him, and he goes right into that. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed, verse 8, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Gets to verse 12. He says, for the reason I suffer these things, this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day. He's given us a spirit, not of fear, not of something that won't allow us to act, but one that will trust Him, one that will act in faith and go in courage. Because we have power from God, we have love, we have a sound mind. We have power that He's working in us, that same Holy Spirit, that same power is in us. He's perfected His love in us. Perfect love has cast out fear. So His love is perfected in me. He's accomplished it, His will on the cross when Jesus said it's finished. And that is the ultimate demonstration of love. And of a sound mind. Of a sound mind. That word tells us, it's kind of got a little scope of it, meaning there, self-discipline, self-controlled, sound judgment. I've got the ability to understand and to act based off of reasoning that God has given me. I understand those practical matters, and I'm able to act in accordance with them. And God's given me that. God's given me a spirit of love, of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there's a big put on there that if I understand who I am and what God's given me and who God is, I can move past and I can act in courage. I can act in faith and I can follow God. We have the same framework. I'm going to keep showing us this each time, that you got to go back to the works of the flesh versus the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5. Is my worry leading me to respond in these ways, or am I acting in courage in those situations to respond with the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What kind of behavior am I manifesting? Because it goes back to, is this a work of my flesh? Is this me acting it out? Or is it the Spirit working in my life? And we have to weigh against that. What about our task? We know our goal is holiness. We know our goal is following Jesus and becoming more like Him. And I can get suited up with the task of what it is, whatever it is I might be worrying about that I want to accomplish or whatever, and thing is, I get paralyzed in that task, and I'm unproductive, and I'm distracted, and I'm busy worrying instead of moving forward. I'm struck with that timidity and cowardice because I'm distracted and divided mind when I need to move forward with courage, trusting in God, and keep pursuing. Okay, this doesn't give me the right to worry because God says worry is a sin, and I need to submit to Him and act according. I'm going to fall on my face from time to time. I need to get back up and trust Him again. I can't sacrifice the goal and be too focused on the task. I have to do everything in perspective of what am I trying to, my life is to live as Christ, to die as gain. My whole purpose is to know Jesus, to live it out, to be holy, to be more like Jesus. Let's put it into practice. I understand some of these are, I give you a list to work on, and I give you some verses, and I understand this is a step-by-step process. But I want us to reflect on these things, and you might have to back up sometimes, but I want us to have some practical steps to take to understand how do I work on this? How do I leave this week, and I know I've got a problem with worry, and I want to do better, and yet every time I think that, I fall right back into that pattern again of, well, this might happen, and I can't get my mind off of that. Well, first of all, you have to confess. Confess your worrying. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You get a clean slate. You confess that. You get it out. I know I'm using that verse week after week. I thought about changing it to some other helpful ones, but I want us to get that in our minds. I don't want us to lose sight of that. So I hope you're got this imprinted that you can't even get it out of your mind by the end of this. We can confess our sins and God will cleanse us. He will forgive us. But we have to confess our worrying. If we're worrying, we need to take it to Him. We have to evaluate your desires. We'll see that over and over again. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. James 1:14-15. What do I want? You have to ask that question. What do I want? Why am I worrying? Because the thing I want is causing me to worry. And I need to back up. Ask myself that question, and okay, is this desire good, or is this desire bad? And if it's bad, I need to figure out how I can stop wanting that. And if it's good, I need to figure out how I can submit that desire to God so that I'm not elevating it, so that that's now my new goal, when maybe that's a task that I should be pursuing while I'm ultimately focusing on holiness. I'm not going to sacrifice my holiness for any desire, good or bad. Surrender your plan. We looked at Proverbs 14:12 when we were studying the book of Ruth. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Maybe I need to reevaluate and give it up. I thought my plan was good, but God says it's better. Okay, it's yours, God. I lay it at your feet. I don't want that plan if it's not best. And instead, seek God's plan. We saw in Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And then keep growing in the knowledge of God. Keep growing in the knowledge of God. Because I have to understand. I have to understand. If I want to get to the heart of this, I have to know who I am and who God is and our relationship together. And Paul says, I'm going to throw out all the things I had to claim to because there's one thing I want, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Philippians 3:10. The power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. They come together. But whatever the cost of knowing Jesus, that's the one thing. The excellency of the power, knowing Christ. Trust that God is good and in control. This is going to take some work. It sounds easy. It's going to take some work. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God's in control. He's sovereign. He's good. He wants the best for us. Sometimes it hurts along the way. We have to work on understanding that God is good and God is in control. And I'm going to have to surrender to God sometimes and say, I don't know God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. I don't understand, God, but I trust You. So confess your worrying, evaluate your desires, surrender your plan, and seek God's plan. Keep growing in the knowledge of capital G, God, and trust that God is good and in control. Real quick, shared victory. We've talked about examining yourself first, because this is for me first and foremost, and then confronting somebody, coming alongside of them, and pointing them to Jesus. It's not our place to judge. I'm not trying to judge worrying mothers this morning. I'm not trying to judge anybody here. But I think we all probably struggle with worry and fear in some area of our life. I know I do. But I'm going to keep following after God. I want to grow in this area, experiencing victory. And I want to draw near to Him. What about, some of you have been mothers. What about seeing another mother in the store? And I can't tell you. Sometimes people, I've heard in a restaurant before, who would bring screaming kids to a restaurant? Sorry, my kids needed to eat. We weren't near home. And we're not enjoying the screaming either. But how can you encourage that mother? How can you come alongside of her? Maybe she's struggling with worry. Maybe she's struggling with something else. How can I've been a parent. How can I encourage those parents that are struggling and come alongside them and point them to Jesus? Because everybody needs help. And nobody needs the judgment. We've got God to judge us. We'll need to be approached. We can't let people keep sinning. So if I see something or if I'm concerned about somebody, I can confront them and come alongside them and then say, hey, let's go together. We're going to bear one another's burdens together. I'm going to carry your load with you. And let's go to the cross. Let's experience the victory that Jesus gives because He says it is finished. And we can experience that together. I'm going to have to stop there. But what about our worry? You have to back up to that desire and then evaluate that desire and give it to God. It's the hard work of this is a mental thing that I have to really let go of the things that I'm concerned about and know that God is in control. And we love control. But God is a better God than any of us could ever be. And I'm thankful that He is God and I am not. Let's pray. Thank You so much, Lord, for the words of Jesus as He preached on the Mount. And He encouraged that You are a good Father, that You love us, and that You're in control. And rather than getting distracted, Lord, rather than getting distracted with the things we want to take control of and the things we can't control, so we decide to worry about instead, Lord, which is unproductive, You tell us to focus. You tell us to focus by seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And Lord, that we want that to be our one focus, that we face each day with courage to do that. We step out in faith, trusting You, and courageously overcome our fears by Your power. Because You've given us power and love and a sound mind. And we can act and we can forge ahead where we can trust You. Let us not waste any more time with matters that we cannot control, Lord. Let us enjoy the privilege of prayer, the privilege of coming to You, the privilege of surrendering to You. And Lord, as we enjoy those privileges, Lord, that we would be blessed by drawing near in a relationship with You. And experience the greatest goal of holiness by knowing You, the power of Your resurrection, the fellowship of Your sufferings. Help us, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.